Those of you who use computers a lot are aware that a computer has something that your life does not have. It's called a delete button. You can make mistakes on a computer or type things you shouldn't have or wish you wouldn't have, or perhaps spelled wrong, and you can simply press delete and it disappears. How many days you wish life were like that, don't you? Ouch, I wish I hadn't done that. Whoops, I wish I hadn't said that. Golfers call it a mulligan. You just pretend that that didn't happen. A bad decision. The story in Mark chapter 6 is that story. A Roman governor named Herod Antipas. Herod is more a title than actually a name, and his name was Antipas. And he was the governor in Galilee, down by the sea, by the Mediterranean Sea, part of Israel. Herod loved power. But like many people who are powerful, he felt he didn't quite have enough power. And he demanded that the local people call him king, which he was not. He was the governor of Galilee. In fact, he actually requested to Rome, to Caesar Augustus. A Roman Empire had one man in power who had all power and authority, the Caesar. And Herod asked that he be called the King of Galilee. And he was refused. And later, his jealous wife, a second time, a few years later, requested that he asked again, and he was refused the second time. And actually relieved of his duties because of his insistence on being called king and was exiled. So Mark, the gospel writer here, we're not sure why, calls him King Herod, perhaps because the people reading the gospel would have known that he had that custom of being called king, or perhaps sarcastically or in irony. It's not the most pleasant story to read. Can we be honest about that? You didn't come to church to hear that someone was beheaded and their head brought in on a platter. On the surface, it appears to be a story about the death, the horrible death of a man, a prophet named John the Baptist. But the story teaches very clear lessons about our lives, our sinful nature, and about some of the very bad consequences that come when we make bad decisions. Power can be used for good. You have certain powers in your life, though you may think you're not responsible for anything, and you're able to choose to use those to bring good into the lives of others or into your own life. And you can abuse the power you have and make horrible decisions. I put in the sermon notes in the bulletin a quote from Lord Acton, a British politician who said, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." Most of you have heard that quote and perhaps don't know that he also said, "Great men are almost always bad men." Isn't that encouraging? That is to say, people whom we choose to give authority to and power, nice thing to say because we're in the middle of a presidential campaign, but we'll elect a lot more than a president, people wanting to have authority and rule over us, and the power we give them to rule very easily corrupts them. That's nothing wrong with the power and the office we're electing them to. It has to do with our heart and our sinful nature. Herod, this Herod Antipas, married a woman named Herodias, who was his niece. And, if that weren't enough, was married to his half-brother Herod Philip, making her his sister-in-law as well. People in power usually see themselves as above the rules that apply to the rest of people, don't they? In the Jewish nation, it wouldn't be permitted to marry your sister-in-law. It wouldn't be permitted to marry your niece or other blood relative. And Herod would have known that. But those rules apply to the regular people. When you're in power, you can do what you want, can't you? We observe that. We disagree with it. We think people shouldn't do that. One of the results of his bad decision was that John the Baptist, the prophet, had publicly spoken out, we read that in the text, and said, that's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Not only common sense and conscience, but even the law would have said, Herod, you can't do that. And people who rule don't take so well to people speaking out, and today we call it calling them out. Despite that, despite John's public opposition, Herod, we read, feared him and protected him and knew him to be a holy man and righteous and held him in high regard. Bad decisions, you're not going to be surprised to hear this, are not only ours, we're responsible for making bad decisions, but other people motivate us, push us toward bad decisions as if we didn't have enough sinful influence in our own heart. And this is why the scriptures, if you read the book of Proverbs especially, frequently warns us about the company we keep. It says, be careful about the friends you choose because they will affect and influence your life and lead you down the wrong road. So we read that Herod, who loved to hear John, who liked to listen to him, who respected him, he had him arrested and put in prison. Now Herod would not have done that himself, but it says he did it because of Herodias, his wife. So power can lead to bad decisions. Bad decisions lead to worse decisions. And if a bad decision is the wrong people that we cultivate friendship with, it's very easy to make decisions worse than we would make on our own. I remember answers about this frequently in my teenage years. Now, Tim, why did you choose to do this? And the first answer to the question was the name of a friend of mine. Well, Danny seemed to think it was, yeah, I didn't ask who your friends were or who was with you. I'm asking, why did you choose to do that? And I always thought those were unpleasant conversations, but I became a father one day, and surprised I had the same conversations with my children. And often it was about the friends they were choosing. Bad decisions inevitably lead to bad consequences. So we read this story. It's my birthday, says Governor Herod, or as he prefers to call himself, King Herod. So let's have a big party. That'd be expensive, but I'm the king after all. I don't have expenses. I just spend the people's money. I'll invite all the officials and important people. It's a paternalistic society, so he invited all the important men of Galilee. I'll have them all give homage and bow down and honor me because I'm a leader and insecure after all. And hey, since we're all together, why don't we just give out a lot of free drink to everyone? Hey, wait, here's a great idea. Why don't we have a beautiful young girl dance in front of a whole room full of drunken men? That'll end well, won't it? Do you see how bad decisions kind of lead in domino effect to other bad ones? I know. I'll impress my guests by making a horribly rash decision and announce it and take an oath in front of everyone. I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. I make a vow in front of everyone. Isn't it funny that in 2,000 years the temptation of government has never changed? Give stuff away to people to make them happy. It's not yours after all. Now he didn't have the power to give away half the kingdom. Why? Because he's not a king. It's not his kingdom. He's just the governor. He's responsible to watch over things. But hey, Caesar Augustus doesn't leave the security of Rome. He's not coming to my party, so I'll just pretend to be the king. Now, you've never promised rashly to give away half of everything, have you? So it's easy to think, what a stupid guy. What's he thinking about? So you have that luxury of just sitting here today, and the bad decisions of your life aren't being exposed on the screen. But we've also done this thing, haven't we? And allowed not the wisest decision to lead to a pretty stupid decision, to a horrible decision. And we're thinking, you know, that'll get better one day. Probably that's not going to have any bad consequences in my life. In a fallen or sinful world, sadly, some people end up paying not only the consequences of their own bad decisions, but the decisions of other people as well. That's a sad ending to this story. So the girl, who's not even named here, just the daughter of Herodias, went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" That began by saying, verse 21, "Finally the opportune time came." So Herodias all this time is asking that John the Baptist be killed, and her husband, for all his bad decisions, is at least smart enough not to do that. Arrest him? Can't think of a reason, but I'll do it. Put him in prison? No motive for that, but I'll do it. His motive is what? To keep peace at home, because his wife is saying, "Hey, why don't you do this?" An opportune time comes for her when she hears her daughter say, "Your drunken husband has made an irrational oath." Surprise element in the story, actually, is that this young girl has the opportunity to make a very good decision, and she makes a horrible one, too. Probably, he would not have been successful at giving away half of the kingdom, but she could have asked for something very large. We think back to Solomon. You remember that when he became king and God appeared in a vision and said, "Ask me for whatever you want and I will grant it to you." We were conjuring up an image of the genie that comes out of the bottle. I'll grant your 3 wishes. And her bad decision cost the life of a prophet of God who had done nothing wrong. You know, in our perverted sense of values sometimes, we don't lament very deeply someone paying for their own bad decision, do we? So when we see in the evening news, a drunken driver went off the road in the ditch and his car hit a pole and he's badly injured, because other people might be listening, we say, "How horrible is that?" But something in our mind says, "Well, maybe that'll teach him a lesson." But when that accident is not in a ditch and hitting a pole, but crossing the road and the lives of other innocent people are taken, then our heart says, "That's not right. They had nothing to do with the decision of that person to drive when they should not have." It's impossible to go through a day in our life today and not hear on the news and read on the news someone who paid the ultimate price for the bad decision of somebody else. And the woman is nursing a grudge. A man spoke and said, "This is wrong," and he was right. She should have straightened out her life. Herod should have. Herodias should have. Instead, she nursed a grudge. And a man was beheaded. Pretty drastic and horrible end to a festive party, as a man's head is brought in on a platter. What's the solution to making a lot of bad decisions? It's really not how to make better decisions. It's not how to be a better leader, improving your use of power. In this story, the answer is, you need to decide who is Jesus. We forget that this is the context of the story, verses 14 and 16. We've already looked at the first part of Mark 6, which tells about the miracles Jesus did, the teaching, the people who are healed, those who are freed from the power of demons. And so that's the start in verse 14. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Everything a king or authority, a governor, doesn't want is for someone else to become popular and well-known and powerful. And here's what people were saying. "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead." Others said, "He's Elijah the prophet, also dead and buried." Others said, "He's a prophet like one of those from long ago." But when Herod heard this, he, like every other person in that day and age, had to decide. So who is Jesus? Is he who he claimed to be? the Son of God who forgives sin, who demands my allegiance. And he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. We don't really know. Is that what he honestly believed? Is that what he desperately wanted to believe? How excited would this man Herod Antipas be if John in fact came back from the dead? If I could go shake his hand and say, my bad, sorry about that one. Because don't you feel horrible when a person not guilty for your bad decision has suffered? Who is Jesus to you? The king of your life? We've sang quite a few verses today about his kingship. Is he the king of your life? We don't live in a kingdom, and so we forget that that means this person's in charge. They're the authority. Or like Herod, are you trying to rule and making bad decisions that both your own life and others around you are suffering the consequences for? Every life in this world can have only one king or ruler. It's not a multiple choice question. You can't have two or three. You can't have Jesus and yourself on the throne. You might be thinking today, you know, I can relate to this guy Herod. I've made some very bad decisions in my life. Some on my own. Some other people helped me make. But bad ones all the same. You might say, you know, Tim, I'm the victim of bad decisions made by others, like John the Baptist was. I suffered, and a lot, because other people did very unwise or horrible things. The gospel, the good news, offers one answer for both of those problems. The guilt of your own sin and bad decisions, the bitterness against other people, perhaps, who you recognize, I didn't think of that stupidity on my own, somebody helped me. Or your victimization, that someone else perpetrated sinful acts on your life. And that answer is, it's Jesus, isn't it? It's not religion. It's not the church. It's not doing good things to other people. The answer, the good news answer, is always a person. God is a God of relationships. He wants us to live in a relationship. And the answer is never religion and belief and doctrine and books and membership in a thing. These dear ones who become members of Hope Today, this is not the answer to their life, to belong to a local church. The answer is Jesus. The one that Herod wondered about, we don't have to wonder about. Is he the Son of God? He is. He died to forgive our sins because he loves us. This is the very pivotal point of this story. The central point is not the bad decisions. The central point is the indecision that this man's not sure. I respected him. I like to hear him. If he really had chosen to believe this is the Son of God, he would have said to a wife, despite trying to keep peace in his home or pacify her, no, I'm not going to do that. And won't do it until he's bound. He said, the king was greatly distressed, verse 26, but because of his oath and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. And so he takes an innocent man's life, distressed about it, not wanting to, but he's been trapped by an irrational, drunken oath. The worst decision you can make in your life is another day of indecision about who is Jesus. When you say, I'm not sure, you're saying, I'm deciding he is not King and Lord and Savior for one more day. Here's the greatest decision you could possibly make in your life, to say, whatever else, for whatever motive I resisted that, for whatever reason I dragged my feet, for whatever stubbornness I thought or I was afraid people would mock me and say, oh, you're going to become one of those crazies, a Christian. Instead of living a life of lament about the bad decisions in your past, you have the power to make the best decision a person can possibly make. Believe in Jesus. Ask forgiveness. Have salvation, peace in your heart. Donna and Brad are going to be baptized today, which will not save them, which will not forgive their sins. Those things have happened. Jesus did that in their lives when they believed. What we're going to witness today, maybe you don't understand, why is this important for somebody to get wet in public? The New Testament teaches that this symbolizes two things. Death, going down into the water, signifies burial, that someone is dead to sin. Not they're no longer a sinner, but I'm turning my back on being the king of my life and making bad decisions. And coming out of the water represents resurrection, the new life in Jesus. So what they're doing today is simply a public act of obedience. Obedience means doing what you're told to do. And this is an imperative that's in the scriptures. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you should be baptized. Publicly own up to this. And so these two are announcing today that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. He is the King. I've heard their stories in length. And I know this about these two individuals. They have this in common with me and with every one of us. They've suffered from bad decisions in their own lives that they made. They've suffered from bad decisions that other people made. But today they know Jesus and they know forgiveness. And instead of paying the price for their sins or attempting to, this is what they'll say in God's presence one day. Jesus Christ, your Son, He paid the price. And I believed in that. I accepted His death in my place. And here's my testimony of my life, Tim. That's what I did. It's the best decision I've ever made. So I'm asking you this today. I'm not asking you, do you want to be baptized today? These two are going to be baptized. But I'm asking you this. Do you want to believe in Jesus? Because you have the power to make that decision. For all the power you have to make bad decisions, and sadly, every one of us has that capacity. We have the power to make good decisions. So you have the power to quit living as a prisoner of bad decisions and of their horrible consequences in your life. Amen? Because Jesus forgives the sin of those who believe in Him. So this is the question I would ask you today. Can you give me one good reason you would refuse to do that? We're going to say a word of prayer. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and talk to God. You don't have to talk out loud. God knows our hearts. He hears us. He's able to know our thoughts. And we're going to pray and talk to Him right now. I don't know your heart, of course, and so I'm not sure if anyone or how many people present here today would say this as their testimony. That's a decision I've never made, Tim. I've never said in prayer to God, I'm through being the king of my life. I have not gone forward making bad decisions. And I need to make this decision to believe in Jesus. So if you want to do that today, I'm just going to ask you to say this simple prayer. And if you don't know what to pray, I'm going to pray simple phrases and ask you to repeat in your heart or out loud if you desire and pray this way. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive my sins. I say to you what you already know, God. I'm a sinner. And I need to be forgiven. Please forgive the rebellion of my heart and of my life. And make me know the joy of forgiveness. I believe in you, and I know you're accepting my prayer because it's what you've promised to do. And I pray this, believing you have saved me today. Amen. Amen. I want to say to you today, if you prayed this prayer and have never done that before, that makes me very happy. And I hope it makes you very happy. And here's the simple thing I'm going to ask you to do. I don't want to make this awkward or embarrass you. But I'm going to ask you before you leave Hope Church today, would you please tell me that? Or somebody else that's a friend of yours that brought you, that you came with, that you know you could trust with that joyful information. Just say, I prayed that prayer at the end and put my belief in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to go to the baptism right now, and I'm going to ask Donna to come forward first for the baptism.